I'm Bob from the Virginia Cardinals, and I think John Layfield sucks.
Thank you, Bob.
This is the Rugby Odds, where an unlikely pundit panel of a wordsmith, a WWE legend, a rugby star, and a supermodel scour the globe, seeking best bets and bad behavior. Are you not entertained?
Thank you. Right. Yes, of course. Nice. But anyway, we got a great show. Look in the sponsor opportunity green room and you'll see WWE Hall of Famer turned rugby advocate John Bradshaw Layfield, or do you? And King Gipte Bailu, the inventor of words, prepping diligently for today's show. And look at the Your Company name here, Slate, to see what that show has. It's full. It's great. With George Hook. So it's special. But also special was our record. 87-48, and that was not with Steve Lewis, who we are welcoming to the Rugby Odds gift. Welcome,
Steve.
Welcome. Hey, it's great to see you, Steve.
It's the next best thing. As long as it's not Matt and me, I'm good with that, man.
Yeah, that's a gift contract. So, Steven, how are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Just off a busy weekend in DC with National Collegiate Rugby's Sevens tournament, where you were doing some work as well. Great weekend of rugby, lots of people involved. Good fun, all right.
Explain the shirt.
I've only had cheap. Well, this is Nigeria. This is the Sevens
team. Let's go.
If they're my fellow Nigerian.
Let's go.
you're now a Nigerian by default.
Now? Yeah. No, you're late to the party, Matt. He's always been Nigerian. You're just late to the party.
But forgive me.
Thank you. Used to live there. Coached them 7-8 years ago. Got them into the Commonwealth Games. And we're now back in business. Women's team played for the first time in Ghana at the Africa Games about a month ago. And then the men are playing in the Africa Sevens in Mauritius in July. So, yeah, one of my sort of...
Mauritius.
My most important side gigs coaching Nigeria Sevens.
Okay. All right. Who knew? I didn't know that you were Nigerian, but that's fabulous. That's fantastic.
DNA test. You did the DNA test. It's easy to work out.
I don't need to do any of that. I trust you guys. If Gift is saying it's okay, the King A. Bailu, it's okay by me. But Steve, as the proxy for John Bradshaw Layfield, do you have any messaging?
Yeah, I had a chat earlier with him and he just wanted to remind me that you are the worst host of any show since Matt McCarthy of Rugby Wrap Up. And your hairstyle is not even, your hairstyle is Telly Savalas and Kojak. There hasn't been a worse hairstyle since then.
Who loves you, baby? Okay. It's not very nice, Steve. You could have changed it up a little bit.
I don't think he likes you. Bottom
you
line.
Say the messaging is that I'm the worst host since I hosted.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a double whammy.
Interesting. Okay.
The bottom two. To the bottom 100, you're 199.
Let's move on. I mean, we don't need to get bogged down in this kind of stuff. Gift, any observations from the weekend that you wanted to share?
I mean, plenty of observations. You know, a team that I expected to score 50 on an Anthem team didn't do it, or, you know, a Houston team blanking out. But the most important one was the fact that I thought England women versus France women would be a legitimately interesting, close, competitive game. And it was everything the opposite of that. England absolutely demolished them. Ironically, the games I thought were going to be the worst, best ones. Italy, Wales, and Scotland, Ireland. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk? I told you.
You told me nothing, all right? Your lies and deceit are not going to be able to continue on today.
Whatevs. Steve?
Yeah, I think, you know, the natural order in world rugby has been restored with the ascension of my fighting Glasgow Warriors to the top of the URC. You know, it's been a long time coming and we're down the home stretch. But, you know, a comfortable away win in Zebre and Parma, 49 against them. And we leapfrogged Leinster. Leinster in second, Munster in third. But Franco Smith in Glasgow is a much underappreciated man and they've had a really, really good season. 7 wins on the trot now. Watch out for Glasgow.
Okay. Well, I got 2 quick observations. Number one, I said that Munster was for real. And what did they do? They went out and smoked 2 South African teams in a row, Gift. And you were wrong about both of those matches. Thank you very much. And I want to congratulate the Dallas Jackals for being 500 for the first time in their history with another big win. That's a for real team.
All right, and Steve, while we have you, before we bring in George Hook and let you go, there is the business of the wooden spoon to present. And because our record collectively as a team here on the Rugby Odds was so good, it was 87-48, John was going to get the wooden spoon for his technological issues and not being able to be on here. But instead, management has decided that you're getting the wooden spoon for being somebody's proxy on a rugby show.
I didn't sign up for a cooked show. I don't know what you're talking about. If it's odds and it's rugby, you should invite me on more often. That's all I'm saying.
All right, I agree fully. All right. Take your cooking nonsense out of here, Matt. Take the cooking out of here.
On that note, I want to thank, on behalf of Gift A. Baylor and John Bradshaw Layfield, the proxy that is Stephen Lewis of ElevateRugby.com.
Yep, that's your one-stop shop, the rugby change agent. If you want to improve your sevens team or your 15s team, or you want to do anything with rugby, I am available. Gun for hire, www.elevate-rugby.com.
Excellent. Make sure you go to that, folks. He's excellent at what he does. He's also a great shill and puppet and proxy for anybody on a rugby show. So
haters always want to hate. Haters always want to hate. Steve, this is what happens when every day there's loyalty and friendship. Matt just doesn't realize this because nobody wants to be loyal to him.
All right, Gifts.
No finer proxy.
Gifts Mike has been muted, and unfortunately, I'm going to have to mute Steve's mic as well as we go to break before we bring in George Hook after this.
Need a great price on a new vehicle? Sheehy makes it easy. Easy Price shows you our lowest prices on the Mid-Atlantic's largest selection. Find your best price online or at any of our 31 dealerships.
It's easy at Sheehy.
If you're in New York City and want to watch some great rugby, have some great food, and some great times, go to the world's best rugby pub, the Pig and Whistle on West 36th Street.
And once again, we'd like to welcome back Mr. George Hook. George, welcome back
Let's
to the Rugby Odds.
The legend.
Go!
Yeah!
Let's yes!
go! We bring the full heat today.
And the best part about you coming back on the show, George, is that John's not here because he's having some technical issues, but he will be chiming in.
And now you know, George, that Matt is just going to give the dumbest questions that you could actually have without consequences.
As for John, we do indeed have taped questions that we'll get to. But before we do that, I wanted to mention to you that the Irish women won a big Six Nations match. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, it's huge because it qualifies them for the World Cup. But interestingly, understandably, female commentators in Ireland, no matter in any other country, would be quite strong about female rugby players. I was surprised that the female Irish media thought the World Cup might be a bridge too far for this team because they're going to come up against again England plus New Zealand and so on. So I was interested in that. They weren't actually that bullish about it. It's been the same every year for the last couple of years to get a penalty in the last 5 minutes and to win the match. They duly did, and Italy obliged by losing a game that they shouldn't have lost. And I think men and women are united in this, that making the female game just a copy of the men's game is wrong. In other words, the women's Six Nations and the men's Six Nations, because they're different.
Yeah.
And I know I'm exaggerating a bit when I talk about the 88-point defeat, but as the Guardian newspaper said, it was slaughter. We don't want to hear words like that about rugby, men or women.
Well, we did see Team USA get absolutely slaughtered by the All Blacks at FedEx Field by more than 100 points in recent times. So we know all about that. And that may arguably have gotten the pendulum swinging in the right direction for USA Rugby. But we do have a piggyback question from John.
So, George, I want to apologize to you for leaving you and King get to Baylor with Matt McCarthy or MacArthur or whatever his name is. He's probably the worst. He's not even a host. We're trying to replace him, George. I promise. Question is, Would you combine the women's and the men's Six Nations to create a bigger event and prop up the women's game?
No. I mean, you're falling into the old trap of thinking that the women's game at this level and the men's game are the same. And they're not. They're so different, these two competitions. Now, if they keep the Six Nations the way it is, okay. But they can't keep it the way it is because Wales are no good, Italy are no good, Ireland are no good, Scotland are no good, and there's only two teams in the competition, France and England. And that's doing nobody any good. So there has to be a major reset. Not sure what it is, to be honest, but there has to be something.
Well, real quick, George, I want to ask, do you think that if there is a reset that's necessary, do you think the reset is about trying to find new teams within Europe to place as maybe a women's Six Nation that might be more competitive? Or do you think that it's scrapped at? And obviously there is the, I guess, the WXV tournament that they have now every year. Do you think that most of that focus should then be put there more so than a focus on Western Europe and trying to recreate a women's version of that?
As always, your questions are so pertinent and you've answered the question because they've already got a competition, the WX, whatever you call it, competition. So therefore, you have Division One. I mean, if all the South African teams can travel to Europe, what's to stop a New Zealand or Australian team traveling to Europe? So Division One has New Zealand, has England or whatever. Then Division Two has Wales and Italy and Ireland and Scotland and so on. And it's a totally different competition. And it isn't called the Six Nations. There's no pretense that it's the Six Nations. It's a different women's competition.
All right, Gift, let's change gears because we got to move along. Anything aside from that that you wanted to ask George about?
Yeah, George, we had two situations where two Saracens have made a significant impact in international news. On one hand, you have Billy Vunipola, who went Super Hulk in Spain and got tased and arrested and is now suspended and a major component of the Saracens. While on the other hand, you have Owen Farrell finally deciding to come back to international rugby. These are both elements that as a coach make very different adjustments to how the entire team moves. For you, starting with the Billy situation, how would you handle that? And then subsequently with Owen Farrell, like now the adjustment at fly half for England rugby?
Well, the first thing is that Vunipola let down his rugby team and his country. Okay, we have pictures of him in the nightclub with his shirt off. And now he claims he didn't hit anybody, but his shirt was off. And clearly he was pretty offensive if the police tasered him. You know, they don't normally do that unless they got a real problem. Now, the thing is here, we're thinking about Vunipola as a rugby player. Whereas this is not about Vunipola, the rugby player. This is about Vunipola, the employee of Saracens. So if Vunipola was an employee of the Bank of England and he was down in Spain and did that, what would the Bank of England do? Or what would Aer Lingus do or British Airways? So the point is that Saracens, and it won't be the coach, it'll be Saracens, what are they going to do? Now, Vunipola's got a card in his pocket, which is his leaving Saracens at the end of the season, which is in about 3 weeks, right? So he doesn't give a hoot. And the French team he goes to probably won't give a hoot either. So I wouldn't pay this guy a diamond salary for as long as he resides in Great Britain and is an employee of Saracens, because that's what you would do. Like, he's been fined $300 for crying out loud to a guy. He spends $300 on a pizza dinner.
Yeah.
So, like, the thing is, you've got to hurt him for what he's done, and the only way you hurt him is in his pocket. And this is outrageous. Like, I am outraged. And he's let down two countries, because he's let down his native land, he's let down his adopted country. Like, everything about this is wrong. And the Mickey Mouse excuse and statement, I don't believe a word of it.
So as a coach, because you've coached at every single level, but the one difference now since your last main coaching gig is the social media and the media exposure that we have these days. If you were right front and center as the coach and Billy's coming back to the team, let's suppose that he was playing next year for Saracens and you're the head coach of Saracens. How do you handle this?
Well, first of all, he's not playing for Saracens next year. And I know it's a hypothetical question, but hypothetical questions are different. But I'll treat your hypothetical question. First of all, if he came home to me and I was the coach, I'd say, listen, go home, sit in front of the television, because I don't want you here anymore. And I'm not going to pick you anymore. Because look what happens. If next week Vunipola is welcomed back like the prodigal son of the Bible of old, and he's on the first team, right? What does that say to every other player in the team? It's okay, lads. Go down and beat up a few innocent cops in Spain and you're okay. Or break up a few bars or whatever. Don't worry. Just come back and we look after you. Pay your $300 and it's fine. You don't establish discipline like that. That's not how you do it.
This just in, we got a question from Layfield George. He wants to know about the Champions Cup.
So, George, two huge home favorites. Leinster rested everybody. Now they're 13.5 favorites over the Saints. Do they cover? And does Toulouse cover 18.5 points as well at home?
Well, I think the Leinster-Northampton game is harder to call than the Quins Toulouse game. I think Toulouse at home will win, and I think win relatively comfortably. Leinster have now lost two matches in a row. Okay, you're having your team meeting and you sort of say, well, it doesn't really matter, lads. We put the second team out in South Africa. We're putting the first team out. They're all rested, blah, blah, blah. Northampton, for as long as I've known that great Midlands team, amateur and professional, have been very difficult. I think they will come to Croke Park serious about the match. That's a key point. They will be very serious about it. Ultimately, I think Leinster will win because they just have so much talent, but it will be no pushover. And don't be surprised if you get an unexpected result. I'm not expecting it, but I think I'm not dismissing the possibility.
Do you think that Leinster wins by two converted tries?
No.
Okay. Then we have the other match, Toulouse, and this is a lot of points. This is 18.5 points that Toulouse is giving to Harlequins in Toulouse.
I think they can make that. I think they can make, you know, 20-point difference against Quins. Like, Quins are not Northampton. And if you look at their season, like, they haven't been dominant in the UK. Toulouse is a totally different ball of wax. I think 20 points is about right.
All right. Anything else that you wanted to add, George, before we let you go?
I'm just getting too old for this.
No, you're not. You're right in your prime.
Immortalized, George. Immortalized. Never too old.
Thank you to Mr. George Hook. Thank you, George, for coming
Let's
on.
Go.
The
Let's go.
Again. Much appreciated. Much appreciated.
Matt, you let him go before he even got a chance to answer the Owen Farrell question. That's the most important one of them all.
I know, but we got management in my ear telling me we're out of time. We'll have to talk to management, all right?
This is just autocracy happening.
All right, I had the mute gifts mic, so he's muted, and we're going to take a break and come back after this. Thank you. dates? You need them tomorrow? If you order today by 3 p.m. New York time or noon L.A. time, they can have them to you tomorrow. Young, old, male, female, if you're playing on turf, if you're playing on grass, if you're playing in the rain, you're playing in the heat, they've got you covered. RugbyNow.com. Go there now. Hey, Omar of Play Rugby USA, what's your favorite rugby show?
MLR Weekly.
How come it's not the Rugby Odds?
JBL.
Because of JBL?
Nah, I hate that guy. Shout out Play Rugby too. Play Rugby USA.
Thank you, Omar.
No problem.
Gift, how great is George Hook?
George is absolutely legit. It'd be better if he could finish questions that you allow him to be able to finish, but George is still the master, knows it, talks it, says it, and at least it's the information we can believe in.
Gift, it's management, it's the man, it's their decision.
This autocracy is ridiculous. I'm saying power to the people, all right? Take the protest to the streets. It's over. It's all over.
Right. Okay, let's take our picks to the streets and let's see if we can make our audience some money. And John's picks are going to be contributed via videotape because we still can't get him on. But he is giving his picks. So they'll go in right in the order here. But Gift, let's start with you. First up, Gift, is the Champions Cup, and there's no Premiership, and there's no Top 14, and there's no URC because of the Champions Cup. And the two matches that we have, the first one is Leinster minus 13.5 at Croke Park versus the Northampton Saints. What do you think?
Man, look, I love this matchup. I think this is two of the best and really should have been the championship. But there's no way Northampton is about to get destroyed by Leinster like that. Northampton is going to keep this game close and cover that spread, but I do think Leinster wins it.
I completely disagree with you. I think Leinster covers the spread. Let's see what John had to say. All right, okay. But Gift, 18.5. You thought the 13.5 was a lot. Toulouse is laying 18.5 in this match against Harlequins.
Yeah, look, I would normally go against Toulouse because I never think the French actually care about anything outside the top 14. But that being said, Toulouse is at home. It's a championship of sort. And I actually just don't think the Harlequins are that good. I actually think Toulouse is actually going to cover this one and get the win on it. But, it'll probably be tight in the first half and then run away with it in the second half.
Yep. Let's see what John had to say. All right. And I think it's going to be Toulouse by at least 20. All right, let's move over to the MLR. Gift.
Man, San Diego, Dallas. Look for San Diego to cover the spread, -3.5, but Dallas has been there. It's going to keep it close.
Okay, I mean, that's close to begin with. Let's go to taped John.
Miami has not really beaten anybody. Nalo is having problems when they beat them. They beat Anthem, who everybody has beaten. I worry about not Miami without the two big guys. Old Glory's getting players back. Old Glory at home to beat Miami.
And I'm going to go up to Seattle, and I'm going to give the 24 points to the Anthem, and they're still not going to cover. I think Seattle beats them by 30. Let's go to Super Rugby. Gift, who do you like?
Look, I got to love a great revenge game. Hurricanes going against the Waratahs, -20.5 points. Look for Hurricanes to put the full hammer, smash dick down on the Waratahs.
A lot of points. Let's see what Tape John has to say.
Chiefs to boat race Western Force.
All right, and I'm going to go – this is a tough one for me. I think the Crusaders. I think the Crusaders -9.5 versus the Reds. I do.
You want the Crusaders to be so good, so bad, and they're not. They're not. Just lucky wins here and there.
I'm just calling it – this is a money show. I'm just making money. That's all I'm doing. All right, because we're all screwed up, we got to take a quick break right now. We'll be right back. Hey, U.S. fans, you can tune into every match live on Flow Rugby. How do we know that? Because we're on there all the time.
From New York City comes America's longest running and most popular rugby show. The biggest names in Major League Rugby, MLR highlights, and big match previews. Rugby Wrap-Up presents MLR Weekly, made in New York City.
And we're back, and we're going to the other code. Let's go to the NRL. Gift.
Look, man, Russell Crowe's about to bring some force down on the Panthers. It's got about to have the Rapitos covering against the Panthers, minus 14 and a half for the Panthers. It's a lot of points for them. A team that's not as good as they were last year. Look for that to be a Rabideau's day. But still lose. Rabideau's still lose.
He doesn't think the Panthers will win by 14 and a half. Let's go to tape, John.
The most popular team in the history of the world, the Manly Sea Eagles, to win. Manly Sea Eagles, win.
You knew he was picking them again. You knew it. You knew it. I'm going with the Storm. It's a lot of points, 13 and a half, but I think they're going to handle the Titans. Japan's Rugby League One, back into Rugby Union. Gift.
Look, Wild Knights, top of the league. Cannon Eagles trying to fight for their position. Look for the Wild Knights to be able to take this one for the win and the points.
Let's go to taped John. And we know what it's going to be, but let's go to him anyway.
Two things. ABM, anybody but Matt. The other thing, ABK, anybody but Kintetsu. Same, same.
Same, same. Just want to smack that face. But I gotta try to make up for this. I'm gonna go with Verblitz pounding the Black Rams. Now we're at that time. It's almost tearful because we're at the end of the show. It's time for our picks of the week.
Pick of the week, Singapore Sevens happening this weekend. Look for USA women to get their first win on the season, getting gold or whatever they want to call it for the SBC Sevens series. And then for the men's side, I think we get to see the return of Argentina back to the top. I think, you know, it's been a lot of games played, but like, I think we're going to see them come back again for Singapore. It's been enough time.
All right, that was two picks of the week. So let's go to taped Johnny.
It's one tournament. It's one tournament. One pick, one tournament, two teams, one tournament makes it one pick.
It's clearly two picks. It's clearly two picks.
See, this is why how I know you don't know math, all right? Two halves.
Let's go to tape Johnny as Gift has been muted.
Two different teams. One beats you up, one outruns you. Utah playing Houston in the MLR. Bet on points. Take the over.
And I'm going to go to my old reliable. Take the over in the Seattle Seawolves versus the Anthem Carolina match. Whatever the over is, take the over. And on that note, we are out of time. I want to thank the WWE taped legend turned rugby advocate, John Bradshaw Layfield. I want to thank King Gift Ebelu, the inventor of words. I want to thank rugby proxy and excellent sevens and 15s coach, Steve Lewis, the Irish rugby legend that is George Hook. And thank you for tuning in. Please check out our other shows, including MLR Weekly and the College Rugby Wrap-Up. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Tell your friends about us and join our American Red Cross blood donor team.
This really is a lot. You know, you never really notice how much it is until you actually have to listen to it all, and that's a lot. It's a lot. I'm literally starting to fall asleep right now. Goodness.